tonight, outreach tomorrow, church Friday, Saturday, Sunday again. I hope you guys like church, because we're going to get a bunch of it. So if you would, turn with me to page 530. I'd ask you all to please stand. We're going to sing A Shelter in the Time of Storm.
Teaching, Lord, what we learned here tonight, Lord, and bringing it and taking it out to the world and bringing them in here and getting them saved, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for these things now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you would, turn over with me to page 26. 26, Come Thou Fount.
Call for songs of loudest praise. Amen. Blessed to be in church tonight. I'm going to read a prayer letter from Brother Mark Rena before we go forward. It says, "Dear prayer warriors and supporters, thank you for praying for us in the past month. I want to update you briefly on several projects and needs we are facing. But first, some answers to prayer. Venezuela. At the beginning of September, we had a little over $600 for the project to Venezuela. At the moment, we have $3,405. Please be in prayer as we still need just under $2,600 for the printing and shipping to Venezuela. We are thankful to be able to be a part of reaching this difficult country with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I spoke with a pastor recently who had been instrumental in also sending tracts into the country, and he was so happy to hear we were also working to help the pastors in the country. Any gifts for this project can be marked VE or closed country. Travel. I took two main trips in the month of September to be in a total of five churches in Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. In one church, a visiting family came up to me and told me of a friend they have in Guatemala who may be a contact for sending our remaining 400,000 tracts to the country. You may remember that we sent a shipment through a courier based out of Colorado, and it was not only expensive, but they were decidedly late on their promised delivery. The Gospel Catholic. The newest edition of the newsletter is being printed now and should be mailed shortly. Dr. Brown's article on the King James Bible, or the Authorized Bible, Authorized Version, was an excellent way to finish off his series on how we got our English Bible. I'm planning on writing a series of articles in the future editions about how Roman Catholic teachings from the Catechism differ from what the Bible says. Please pray that I have discernment on how to properly expound what is taught versus what the Bible says. Illustrated tracts. Our first illustrated tract is finished and is being worked on by the printer for publication. I've attached half of it on the back of this page so you can see what it looks like. We are thrilled to have it. We are thrilled to have it this far on the project and are praying to have copies in hand by the middle of November. Personally, our family is excited for the fall season. Benjamin at the right is now able to walk and is enjoying this newfound mobility. I would also ask you to pray for a personal need. We found out last month that our van will need a new transmission. The expected cost is $5,800, and we are praying for those funds to come in. Since the van has only 152,000 miles, we believe that it's worth its investment, especially in light of the current used car market. Your prayers are appreciated. Thank you ever so much for your prayers and support. May God richly bless you for it. Yours for the kingdom, Brother Mark T. Reno. Amen. The only announcements I have, Brother Brian's already stated, Lord willing, a revival will start Friday at 7, and then Saturday at 6, and then Lord willing, Sunday as normal. Forgive me for not being very clear on Sunday, but I'd like to have a potluck dinner where we bring in food. So if you got any dish you'd like to bring in for Sunday afternoon, please feel free to do so. I think it'll be a blessing just to have a little fellowship after the Sunday morning service with Pastor Krotz and get together around some food. So if you could bring something, whatever it may be, whatever the Lord may lay upon your heart, you're able to do, please bring a dish for Sunday afternoon. Amen, brother.
Now, as you were reading that missionary, I know I've noticed, Pastor, we've been hitting on a color coordination lately. The past couple services, we've been hitting. He's been paying attention to the emails I've been sending him. So. All right, if you would, stand with me. We'll sing our final song here, page 393. There shall be showers of blessing. Yeah.
Savior above, shall
glad to be in church tonight. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord looks out for us when we're not looking out for ourselves. And I just want to give a praise report this evening. We came over last night after dinner, Melanie and I and Ellie, to finish up painting the hallway over here. And when we got back home, Ellie walked up to the back door and she's like, "What's that sound?" And it was a beeping sound. I got close enough to the door, our fire alarm was going off. And I opened the door up and there was just so much smoke in there, I couldn't go in there. I thought for sure my dog was dead, the cat was dead. It was bad. So I rushed in there. We accidentally let the stove on because I messed her up with the dinner because I had gone for a walk before we ate dinner. So it just, our timing was off on everything. But so we were up to like 2 or 3 o'clock last night, just the windows open, trying to get the, I don't know how the dog lived because that smoke was so thick in that house. The Lord was looking out for us. I really, because me and Brother Lance, I'm just so thankful the house didn't burn down. I'm just thankful God watches out for us. Were you able to get your situation situated, brother, with the gas leak?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes. So, I mean, God's looking out. Thank the Lord for his mercy and just grace. And God's just good. I mean, I got a sign in the office in there that I'd gotten years ago. And I don't know who said it, but they said the worst thing that could happen to me today is better than what I deserve. And that's the truth. You know, it's of God's mercies. It's of God's mercies that God gives us the things that we have and the things that we can enjoy. A place to sleep tonight for all of us, clothes to wear, shoes. Just so many things to be thankful for. And, you know, and I'm thankful that God spared, you know, this may be crazy on my end, well, that God spared my daughter's cat. I thought for sure the cat was gone. I'm thinking, if the dog, I don't even know how the dog made it, because when I opened up that door, the smoke was just billowing out. And she's up on the top floor. So I was thinking, there's no way this cat's going to make it out of this. There's no way. Sure enough, she made it out of there. Now, I don't know if she has brain damage, but she made it out. So, you know, but I'm just thankful for that for my daughter. You know, it's, you know, she likes her cat. God looks out for us. God definitely looks out for us. God, the Lord helps us, and I'm just thankful for God's mercy and grace. Amen. If you take your Bible, we're going to continue on in our study in 2 Peter this evening. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And tonight, last week, we kind of looked at verse number 14. But we'll start in verse 13. And just this thought as we go into tonight, how the Lord desires for us. You know, verse 13, we'll read it here, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, and it says, "And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes." These individuals who choose to riot during the daytime, who choose to walk in unrighteousness, these false teachers, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. This thought, as we've been looking through these weeks here in 2 Peter, of not allowing this world to spot or blemish us. Purging ourselves, as 1 John talks about, purging ourselves from the things that are in this world to where we're living a more holy life and a walk closer to God. He goes on to say here, Peter, in verse 14, these individuals having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. These individuals, these false teachers, they can't cease from sin. They can't cease from having eyes full of adultery. And then it goes on to say, "And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, thank you for this building, dear God, that we can come into tonight. Lord, thank you for the Bible that we can open up, we can read it. And Lord, I pray you just lead, God, and direct, dear Lord, and all that's said and done, that you would be glorified and magnified. And we just ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here, again, these false teachers about beguiling unstable souls. We kind of looked at last week how if you're not spending time in your Bible, and not just spending time in your Bible, but rightly dividing your Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing. Okay? You're to study your Bibles not to show yourself approved to me or to any other man or denomination or church. You're to study your Bible to show yourself approved unto God. You see, we looked at it a couple weeks ago. We're going to have to give an account someday before the Lord Jesus Christ and how we've lived our lives since we've been saved. And so the Lord, or Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, I want you to study the Word of God. And as you study it, you also have to realize that you have to rightly divide it. That not everything in the Bible is for the church. Okay, in the Old Testament, that was to the Jew. So if you have any individual that comes in that says, okay, you need to take in dietary laws in order to draw closer to the Lord, that is a false doctrine. Another is a doctrine of devils to say that you should not marry. Okay? So there's these things that Peter and Paul are trying to get across to the church and to the brethren that false teachers are going to try to creep in. They're going to try to lead astray those that are trying and striving to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also those that come up to that point but never get saved. Look at the latter part, verse number 22. Chapter 2, look at verse 20. But as it happened to them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I believe, we'll look, as we go through this, there's individuals that come right up to the brink of getting saved. They know the way. God's dealing with them. But for whatever reason, they pull back and go back doing the same thing they used to do. And the Bible says it had been better for them to never have known the way of truth than to have known the way of truth and turn from it. That's a scary thing. To know the way to truth, to know that God, there was a young man one time in a church back home, and the pastor down there one time asked him, he says, has God never dealt with you before? As the boy had basically grown, he's like, oh yes, God's dealt with me before. It wasn't the pastor to ask him the question. It was another one of his friends asked him the question. He said, because he never claimed to be saved. He says, has God never dealt with you before in a service? He says, oh yes, many a time God's dealt with me. And he's like, I fight it off. No, that's fearful. That's fearful to be in church and the Lord dealing and knocking on your heart's door. And you shake and say, no, I'm not going to give in to the Lord. That's fearful. It's scary. But tonight, it talks about, in verse 14, and they have exercised with covetous practices. Be careful, false teachers or those that come in, and you can just tell that they're all about money. Or they're about this, let me not say money, I'll just say about the worldly things that they can gain. Now, we've said before, we live in this world. We must be in this world. It's not for us to go separate ourselves from the world to where we're living off in the middle of nowhere and have no association with the world. God desires for us to be here but not be a part of it. And he says here, be careful of them that are exercised with covetous practices. And in this tonight, cursed children. Brethren, we got a generation today of, unfortunately, a lot of children that are cursed, merely so because of the way that they've been raised. The word curse means afflicted, vexed, tormented, hateful, detestable, abominable. Brethren, I was walking the other day to dog near the park over there at Deerf High School. And usually there's sometimes there where I'm walking and sometimes the kids are being let out of the school and all that. And as I was walking the dog, I was coming around one of the corners, and there was a bunch of young people walking down in front of me, but I could tell they were in trouble just by the way they were acting. And I look further down at the very end of the road where it teed into Irving Street, and there was an older couple walking their dogs cutting across. And those young people started yelling out, we hate old people, we hate. I'm thinking in my head, there's probably four or five of you, but you go over there and you try to do something to those people, you're going to have me and my dog coming after you. Brethren, cursed children. I would have never even thought of that growing up, of yelling at somebody that was my elder. Not only just yelling at them, but saying that I hated them.
cursed children. I believe this, I could be wrong on this, it's my opinion, but I believe this generation coming up is the generation for the Antichrist. I just believe it's the generation for the Antichrist. Now we don't walk out these doors with no hope saying, no, I got a heart for kids, and try to reach them, bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. But as a whole, you're raising a generation that has absolutely no governor. There used to be a governor putting young kids from the time they were little, work ethic, character, and treating your elders correctly and right. That's just separate from salvation. That was just home training of young kids. You were just raised to obey authority. Me and Brother Sam were talking about that a couple weeks ago, obeying authority. I'm still today, I was scared to death of my principal in high school. He was a big old Italian man, scared to death. I remember I was in high school. I remember that man scared me. If I had ever gotten called to the principal office, I think I'd have gone to the bathroom, right? That I don't know the way my parents raised me, that if I ever had I never had detention, but if I did, it would scare me to death to have detention just because of what it meant, and then to have to go back home with saying that I had detention. But that's what that was put in me from my parents, a right respect for authority. You have a generation coming up today that has no respect for authority. Now listen, if you can't respect the authority that you can see, how are you going to respect the authority of God who you can't see? That's why it's so important to train children to respect authority, because they can respect the authority they see, and then someday you say there's a God in heaven that you're accountable. Oh, they put two and two together and they realize, okay, I ought to have a right fear for a police officer. I ought to have a right fear for my teacher and my principal and the judge and the mayor and those in God. And then you say there's a God. Oh, okay. And they put them together. But when you have a generation that has no respect for no authority that they can see, and then you say there's a God you're accountable to, that you're a sinner and you need a savior, who are you to tell me? You see the vehemence come out. We ought to train up children, teach children to be obedient to authority. Therefore, when God starts dealing with them, they can put two and two together. Cursed children. Take your Bible, look at Job chapter 30, verse number 1. Cursed children. Job chapter 30, and look at verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here, Job talking, and he mentions something about kids. Job chapter 30, verse number 1, Job says this. Now, we're going to put this together now. Remember, that paragraph that we're reading there in 2 Peter chapter 2, it began with false prophets and false teachers who will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And many shall follow their pernicious ways and speak evil of the truth. Okay? You go ahead and try to raise your children the godly way, and you're going to be evil spoken of. Now, God says a child needs to be spanked. You're not going to bring a child up the proper way without spanking them. Timeout's not going to cut it. They need to be cut. All right? In the right way. Last time I said this before preaching, there's no vital organs back here. None. And I remember old grandmas used to go out there and say, get a switch off that tree. Little flimsy switch. Yeah. And you know what spanking does? And I know I would get in trouble for this. I know I would. It brings a release to the child. If you do spanking the correct way and their will is broken, there's a release. There's a release with the child, like it's paid for. I did wrong. I suffered the consequences. I'm now forgiven, and I'm now loved. The Bible says the rod, which is a spanking, and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod, spanking, and afterwards, this is why we spank. This is why you did what you did. And I'm explaining, I'm teaching. I'm giving you the rod. Now I'm teaching you. What I used to do when I spanked my kids, I thank God that I got saved right before my kids start getting older. I would hit myself first to keep me in check, okay, so I don't take it beyond what it needs to be beyond, so that it's not abuse. There's a difference between child training that's done in anger and done God's way. A parent ought never to hit their child because they're angry. That's abuse. But there is what the Bible says of training a child the right way to where spankings are a must. The Bible talks about it. The Bible talks about it. And it's the only way it can be handled. But look what Job 30 verse 1 says. But now they that are younger, Job 30 verse 1, but now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have had disdain to have set with the dogs of my flock. Derision means the act of deriving mockery to ridicule. But now they that are younger than I have me in derision. They mock me. They make fun of me. And then he says, even their dads would I not have to set among the dogs of my flock. Jump down to verse 8. They were children. Look at this now. This is Job talking. Job 30 verse 8. Look what he says. They were children of fools. Yea, children of base men, which means low men, like despised lowly men. They were viler than the earth, these children. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth, and now I am their song, yea, I am their byword. They abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face. You don't think there's some young people out here today, you go out there and they wouldn't spit in your face? Oh, yeah. Brethren, you watch the news sometimes with kids in hang on a second. You have children in classrooms that will punch a teacher or hit teachers. Why? Verse 8. They were children of fools. Now, if you choose to do a study the rest of this week here, go back through Proverbs, and as you read through Proverbs, mark every verse that talks about a fool. Fools make a mock at sin. A fool says there is no God. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You see, if you don't drive that foolishness out of the heart of the child by rod and reproof, they're going to be fools that are going to be raised up to be adults, and then those fools that are adults are going to have children. They were children of fools, which makes them, in my opinion, even doubly worse than what they are. They spit in the face. They have no respect for authority or God. Now, take your Bible, look over at Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. Cursed children, Isaiah 3 and verse number 12. I believe that these are the signs, unfortunately, of the last days that we're living in. When you have a nation that goes down this road, it will come in on itself. I don't believe as the United States of America we need anybody to come in to take us over. I believe we'll fall from within. I believe we'll crumble in on ourselves just like Rome did. We are a great nation. We're still a great nation, but it's slowly coming to an end because of the lack of control and character. It will crumble in on itself. Look at Isaiah chapter 3 and verse number 12. As for my people, Lord talking about his people, he says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. Is that not the way today? Absolutely. Children are oppressors. Little kids dictating to adults what the adults are going to do. Little 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old saying, we're going to do this. Mommy's like, oh, okay, we'll do that. No. No, no, no. But the Bible says when you reject God, you turn from God, as my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which leave thee cause thee to err and destroy what? The way of thy paths. Speak evil of truth. They lead down false paths. They get to a point to where children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Not a proper setup within the home or within governments. Take your Bible. Look at 2 Chronicles 33. You see how bad it'll get. Now you know the story of Hezekiah. All right? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 33. This is dealing with Manasseh, his son. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 1 and 2. Chronicles 33, 1 and 2. What it says here. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and reared up altars for Baalim, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord. It says next, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall be my name forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Look at verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft. And look at this. And dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. This is the son of a godly king. Hezekiah was a good king. But you know what? Hezekiah got tripped up in a sense. And I believe it affected his son. If Hezekiah wouldn't have prayed to stay alive or prolong his life, Manasseh would have never been born. Because look what the Bible says in verse number 1. He was 12 years old when he began to reign. Well, Hezekiah was getting ready to die, and he asked for 15 more years of life. So this birth of this son, Manasseh, happened during a time where his life was prolonged an extra 15 years. And now this is the son that has produced a cursed child. Brethren, you're talking about a nation. This is God's people, and one of God's kings is using and dealing with familiar spirits. Where do we get truth from? We get truth from the Word of God. Holy Spirit is truth, Jesus Christ is truth, and thy Word is truth. You get everything you believe, and I'm trying to get this across to some. You base everything you have, or you ought to, from the Scriptures. When you start going outside of Scriptures, I think there's some Christians today who fearfully are trying to get help from areas that are not only not help, but they're dangerous. You need to be careful where you get information from. Here you have Manasseh using witchcraft, consulting with a familiar spirit, basically talking to devils, dealing with wizards. Now look, I'm not going to watch no movie that's got a wizard in it. Witchcraft, wizards, magic, Christians ought to have no part in that. I don't care if it's claimed to be Christian. If there's somebody in that movie using magic or spells, you ought to burn that. You see here, you have Manasseh supposed to be leading a godly nation, the nation of Israel, and I'm afraid a lot of Christians today just sweep it off as if it's innocent. But the Bible says this man used enchantments, used witchcraft, dealt with familiar spirits, and with wizards. Brethren, I'm telling you that we have to be very careful what we allow to creep into our lives. Though in innocence it may seem, it's not innocent. There's no such thing as innocent witchcraft. There is no such thing as innocent casting spells. There is no such thing as innocent wizards. It is witchcraft. It is from the pit of hell. And you say, well, preacher, it don't affect me. Yeah, but it might affect your children. Cursed children. Why are the children cursed? Because their false teachers, daddy and mama, are leading them down astray, down a long road. And their children are cursed because of daddy and mama. You see, what may vex dad and mom may very well curse the child. Dad and mom might be able to handle it. It may vex them. It may knock them back a little bit spiritually. But what about the kid? The kid might take it 50 times further than you took it as dad and mom. Brethren, why are so many children in independent Baptist churches a mess when they turn to adults? I can only name a few on my hand of some kids that I knew that from the time I was saved to now that grew up in church, in a good Bible-believing church with the King James Bible, and their lives are a dumpster fire. Dumpster fire. Kids. And not only that, a lot of independent Baptist couples raised up and gung-ho for the things of God, and now they're divorced, into bodybuilding, kids off in left field. Why? Because they thought that if I come to a Bible-believing church, if I got a King James Bible in my house, everything's going to be good. It don't work that way. Just because you got a Bible in your house and you go to church on Sunday and Wednesday does not mean your children are going to be raised the way they need to be raised. We have to implement what God gives us and heed the warnings that God shows us so that they are not cursed children. Cursed children. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 14 and 16. God tried to get their attention. Look what the Lord says in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 14 and 16. You see, God is such a loving, merciful, gracious God that He continually tries to get our attention before we go down a path that we can't turn around. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. How many Christians today are polluted by the abominations of the heathen? Look what it says next. And polluted the house of the Lord, which He had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes, which means many times, and sending, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But look what happened, verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people, till there was no remedy. There was no remedy. Now hold your hand there. Look, see, the Lord tried to get their attention, sent prophets, sent teachers, trying to get the children of Israel and the children of Judah's attention. They disregarded it. They had no respect to God. They had no respect to His word, nor to His prophets. They misused them. And the wrath of the Lord rose against them till there was no remedy. Look at your Bible. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. You say, preacher, why was there no remedy? Proverbs 1 will give you the answer. Proverbs chapter 1, and look at verse number 24. Proverbs 1, verse 24. Actually, jump up verse 22. Proverbs 1, 22. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Remember what the Bible said there in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 16. It says, till there was no remedy. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsels and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then, the Bible says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Lord, wisdom, why won't you answer them? Why won't you hear their cry? Why won't you give them the answer they're seeking for? Verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What do individuals do when the Lord's trying to get their attention? How do you handle truth when it's given to you? Speaks volumes to the Lord up in heaven. Cursed children. We're in Proverbs. Look over at Proverbs 30, verse 11, talking about children here. Proverbs 30, verse 11. The Bible says here, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 11. you tell me that this isn't the generation today, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 11. There is a generation, look what it says, that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation, look at this now, that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Doesn't that line up with the Laodicean church? Blind, naked, wretched, have no clue. Have no clue of their sinful condition. They think because they've been raised, a lot of kids today are being raised to think that the world revolves around them. They are the world. Some of these little kids, they're little, for lack of a better word, they're little gods. Everything they want, everything they say, everything that's done, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. The world revolves around the child. No, the world doesn't revolve. And my grandma used to say, children are to be seen and not heard. And my grandma used to say that. Children are to be seen and not heard. Not today. Children are the one that you hear and not the elder. Cursed children. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from the filthiness. Verse 13. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. Just go look up some of those videos. Hopefully, I think it stopped because I ain't seen one in a while. I don't know if it was happening in New York City or down in Philadelphia. I forget what city it was, where they were just coming by, and they just, some old person walking down the street and come up and just punch him in the face, not. Cursed children. And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. Because we've turned our back on God in the way God says things need to be done. You see, you're not going to short circuit the Bible. You're not going to confound God. I think a lot of people think that they can trick God. Like they can take a shortcut and God's not going to see it, and they're going to come up on God's blind side and get one on God. There is no counsel against the Almighty. It's either you do it the way God says it to be done, or you suffer the consequences to it. The last verse this evening, look over at 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Kings chapter 2. Look at verse 23. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. And he went up, talking about Elisha. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them, cursed children, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. And he went away from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. That's God's prophet. Now, before you start thinking in your head, what kind of God is this, or what kind of man of Elisha is, what kind of parents raise those kind of kids? Look, if those kids are saying, go up, thou bald head, I guarantee you they probably heard it from somebody else. Makes me wonder if their dad and mom talked about it back home, that bald-headed prophet coming around here trying to tell us the ways of God. Who's he to come around here and rebuke us for our idols in our house or the witchcraft that we're doing or going to worship Baal? Who's this prophet coming up here saying these things are the wicked way and we need to turn back to God? What kind of man he think he is? And then these little kids say, hey, that's Elisha. That's who dad's talking about. Hey, bald head. Hey, go up, bald head. Elisha turns around, cursed children. Two she-bears come out of the wood and take out 42 little kids. Brethren, God does not play around. God takes these things seriously. A respect. Children are ought to be taught to respect authority. Now I'm going to close with this. There's nothing wrong, especially in the country we live in. We live in a country, thankfully, that we're allowed to vote. Some countries you can't vote. You get what you get. It's a dictatorship or whatever. You get what you get. You have no choice. Monarchy, there's no choice. In our country, we have the great blessing of the ability to vote. Now, do I think it's going to matter much? No, I think we're already down the wrong path. But we have that ability, and I'm going to take advantage of it. November 2nd, we're supposed to go vote. Go vote, right? Maybe God will get in on that thing and put some righteous people in positions that can make some changes. Amen. But my hope is to look to God first. But I'm in a country where I can vote. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing with somebody that's in a position of authority in our country and voting for somebody different that believes like you believe. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem comes in with me is when you start making fun of authorities. There's nothing wrong to have a different opinion or disagree or even say that something that they're doing is wrong. You take what Nancy Reagan did. She did witchcraft. Nothing to be nice about it. The woman was involved in witchcraft. Okay? Husband Ronald Reagan. That is wrong. It's not right. Okay? By me saying that, I'm not saying anything wrong or out of place against my authority if they were in a position of authority. But if I were to make a cartoon mocking her, now I've crossed the line. That's none of my business. The issues I have with some individuals, especially some independent Baptists, is they start mocking authorities. There was something going around when Barack Obama was president, and they were making cartoons of him and his children and his wife making fun. That is wrong. That is an authority, a God-ordained authority, whether you like it or not. God allowed him to be there, and you ought not to be making fun of him. Go up, thou bald head. God ordains authority. And so the Bible says God ordains sometimes the basest of men. Do you think it caught God by surprise that Manasseh was king over Israel? No. Basically, I think sometimes God's giving you what you deserve. God says you want to keep killing babies? Okay, I'm going to give you a president that likes that. You keep wanting to exalt and magnify homosexuality? Okay, I'm going to give you leaders that will exalt and magnify homosexuality. There's nothing wrong with having a disagreement with authority, but your attitude behind it is very key. I hope that makes sense. When you start getting attitudes towards authority, you're on a dangerous line. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing or even voicing your disagreement, but the attitude behind it is what's dangerous. Okay? And then making fun of authority. That's dangerous. You say, What scripture principle do you have on making fun of authority and being dangerous? Go up, thou bald head. They were out of line, those kids. They were out of line. And I would say even if their parents were saying it, their parents would have been out of line. That was God's prophet. God had sent Elisha and Elijah. And who are those kids to make fun of them? Especially the way he looked. We ought not to be that way. The Bible says in Peter, honor all men. The Bible says to honor all men. And the last verse I'm going to look at before we close is only 7:55. Honor all men. And look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. This is a verse that's a hard verse to understand. Very difficult verse to understand. But the Bible says it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Look what it says. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God, I thank you that my house last night filled up with smoke. In everything, give thanks. Everything. I don't know what everything is, but I believe it's everything. God, thank you for the president we have today. Lord, I don't understand it. God, I'd rather not have it that way, but your Bible, the Word of God says, in everything, give thanks. That's not Preacher Chris saying it. In everything, give thanks. God, thank you that my car broke down today. I don't understand why, Lord, but thank you that it broke down. In everything, give thanks. Because God just might have had your car break down because he's trying to keep you from getting in an accident. I'm just saying. We don't understand why things happen. But nothing takes God by surprise. And the Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, when we have a thankful spirit, usually a thankful spirit is coupled with a spirit of humility and meekness and lowliness. Usually they're all coupled together. And we realize that our lives are not our own. It's not my life. If I'm saved, Christ ought to be living through me now. In everything, give thanks. You know why? Because there just might be a jailer that needs to get saved. Paul and Silas, when they got thrown into prison, their hands and feet held fast in stocks. At midnight, what'd they do? They gripe, they complain, and say, what kind of wicked government is this? False charges, I can't believe it. Wait till I call my lawyer. Where's my phone call? I get one phone call, it's my right, I get a phone call, and I'm calling my lawyer. You just wait till my lawyer gets down here. You're going to have a lawsuit on your government so fast, you ain't going to happen. In everything, give thanks in Christ Jesus. You see, there was a jailer that needed to get saved that night. And Paul, Silas, they went into that prison. They were thrust. The man that ends up getting saved, I believe, is the one that thrust them in there, bound their hands, bound their feet, there in that dungeon of a prison. And then at midnight, they start singing praises and thanksgivings unto God. God hears it. God sees it. A great earthquake occurs. This jailer jumps up, getting ready to kill himself because he thinks all the prisoners are escaped. And instead of Paul having animosity to him because he threw him in there a couple hours earlier, yeah, that's right, go ahead and kill yourself. No, he's like, no, don't kill yourself. We're all here. None of us are escaped. And that man comes in trembling, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He heard them singing about Jesus. He heard their testimonies. He heard their thanksgiving in the worst of conditions that these men could be in. Most men would be cursing and reviling and threatening. These men are just the opposite, and a man gets saved from it. In everything, give thanks. You go out here and people are complaining, I can't believe this, and you say, yeah, I'm just thankful for what I got here. How can you be thankful? Well, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. You don't think that'd do something with your neighbor if you're talking to them and they start complaining about something? Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm just thankful today I got some food. I'm just thankful that God's allowed me to be alive today. And how can you be so thankful? Because what Jesus, can I tell you about Jesus and what he's done for me? Instead of jumping right in with them and complaining right along with them. Brethren, I'm preaching to myself as well. You say, why aren't people coming to church? Why aren't people getting saved? Well, because we're just like them. We might not be doing some of the same things they were doing. But I heard a preacher this week talk about, he only recollected one time where the children made a golden calf, children of Israel. Only one time to where you had Nathan and Byram coming against Moses and that. But there was many times where the children of Israel were dealt with by the Lord because of their murmurings and complainings. in everything, in everything, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Cursed children. Why do we have cursed children today? Because if you read, I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it talks about perilous times. It says they were unthankful, unholy, disobedient children. You have children that see dad and mom aren't thankful, you're going to raise children aren't going to be thankful. Dad and mom are thankful. Dad and mom obey authority. Dad and mom don't complain or murmur. If they do, they make it right with the kids. You're going to have kids that can be raised up that can live on for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity tonight. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace with me. Lord, thank you for your precious word. Lord, some of these principles, very difficult, Lord, to apply. Lord, it's so easy today, dear God, so easy today, Lord, to complain and murmur. Lord, I know myself, dear God, it's very easy. But Lord, I pray you'd help me, dear God, in these situations, Lord, to in everything give thanks, even when I don't understand it. God, I don't understand why certain things happen, but I know what the Bible says. And the Bible says, in everything give thanks. So, Lord, I pray you'd help me in situations that I don't understand, I can't comprehend why it's happening or why you would allow it to occur. But, Lord, just to take you at your word and say, Lord, you said to give thanks in this, so, Lord, I'm going to give thanks in it. And, Lord, lead the results and the other things to you, Lord. Lord, thank you for these brethren willing to come out on a Wednesday night. Lord, I know a lot are tired. Did I go to work again? But I thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to be here tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us to reach this generation, Lord. A lot of children don't even know what a Bible is. There's a lot of kids out there today, Lord, teenagers, that have no clue even what a Bible is or what the books of the Bible are. And Lord, I pray if there's any kids out here, any teenagers, Lord, that there may be an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you provide open doors, open opportunities. And Lord, help us to have the boldness and humility to walk through those doors when you may give them to us. Lord, that we may see some of these children get saved, dear God, and come to you in truth. Lord, help this church to always be a light. And Lord, just be with us now for the rest of this evening. Lord, we just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.